You can go ahead and be seated. I always wait, see how long you'll stand there before. No, I'm just kidding. So, good evening, everybody. We like seeing the seats full. This is great, and good to see everybody from both churches and from the community. Just a couple of things that I want to announce before we get going. One is there are some cookies and some coffee, so after the service today, or tonight, I'm going to say this morning and probably today half a dozen times, but it is tonight. So, but I'm just inviting you to stick around, have a cookie and a cup of coffee and get to know people and just say Merry Christmas to all that are here tonight. Secondly, we are doing a candle lighting. And we're going to be lighting the candles, and you're going to be taking one, each person, and lighting them off the candle. And when we leave tonight, there's a basket out there and also a basket on the table that you can put those candles in as you're leaving so that you're not wandering around trying to figure out where to put the candle that you have in your hand or, you know, putting it on the chair or something. So those are the only two things that I can think of that we need to know other than let's just celebrate our Lord and Savior and his birth tonight, and just to do it with joy and with celebration. And as we do that, we're going to light the Advent candle. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." On this most holy day, we have lit all four candles in our Advent wreath, and we are reminded of the expectation, preparation, proclamation, and revelation of his coming. Now we light the Christ candle. We rejoice that the promise of God has been fulfilled in the coming of the baby born in a manger. Let's pray. Gracious and mighty King, we celebrate your goodness to us as we join the triumph and joy of Christmas. As your love has been revealed in all of its fullness, we pray that love may abound in our hearts during this special day. Give us the Spirit of Christ, that we may live in the fullness of his character every day. In his name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read the Christmas story. It's the whole Gospel of Luke, and it'll only take me about 3 hours, so just sit back. Now the good news. I'm not going to do that, all right? This is the birth of Jesus from Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered, soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the sea with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy was the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Mary, did you know?
High tech. Thank you. It's a blessed opportunity to be able to share in this evening with everybody tonight. And You know, as I had the opportunity to discuss Advent with Pastor Russ, one thing that we felt was important is to celebrate Advent and what it means together. And not to take away from the family traditions that we all have, but to enhance those traditions by reminding us of the goodness of God in our lives. And the lighting of the Advent candles in and of itself is it's a wreath. It's a practice with rich traditions in a Christian church that actually goes back hundreds of years. And though it's a common liturgical practice to celebrate the season of Advent, tradition is not what has brought us here tonight. Rather, what's brought us here tonight is we consider the darkness in the world that surrounds us in light of the love, hope, and grace and joy in which Advent represents. What we celebrate is that we are free. We celebrate not as captives to our present reality still, but as free sons and daughters of God's eternal light. And tonight we celebrate the ancient longings of our ancestors as far back as the garden, fulfilled through the virgin birth of Emmanuel, God with us, God's beloved Son, born to die that we may live. We celebrate also our own longings fulfilled in Christ, our Lord, who has redeemed us. And we celebrate that it is his redemption that has set us free. It is the redemption that was brought about by a sinless life led by our Lord Savior Jesus Christ in a long, obedient journey to Golgotha. And we mourn not because we rejoice that our Lord is risen. And just as his first coming gave love, hope, peace, and joy, a tangible existence embodied in his incarnate nature, we also anticipate the day ahead when he dispels the darkness once and for all, and when we will dwell face to face with our King. Tonight, I was well set on tonight. Something put today in my head no less than half an hour ago. I'm not going to say what. I'll say whoever it is, I love them very much. But before us this evening, we see five candles, all with significant meaning. And in the first candle, probably that if you've had the opportunity to take this the Advent journey with any of the churches in the area represented here today, it is the candle of hope. And in that, and what that represents is that light of hope represents is the coming of the King that we talked about. And Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, first came to us as a baby lying in a manger. And tonight we've come together to worship him for that, to say thank you. And in doing so, we're also reminded of his first, of in that first coming, that Jesus said these hopeful words to us. Not hope as something we would wish for, but hope as a promise that we could be certain is true. He said, I will come again and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. Isaiah, who is very famous this time of year, in a time of complete darkness, when captivity is what loomed ahead, was given a word by the Lord for his people. His people who represented the Hebrew nation, but his people who represent us as well today as believers. And he said, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So that candle of joy, as we gaze upon it, we remember and we rejoice that the light of God broke through the darkness. And we'll rejoice that light still breaks through darkness today. And we'll rejoice that it will dispel the darkness once and for all. And so we've come together to celebrate hope, but we've also come together to celebrate peace. Hence the second candle. We recognize that in peace, we can only have such through Jesus Christ. Today we recognize also that we are sinners saved by God's marvelous grace through Jesus Christ, his Son. For no other could redeem humanity. The promise of salvation is what leads us to the peace of God. It's which surpasses all understandings and it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Isaiah said concerning the one who would bring peace also, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It is a peace that surpasses all understanding. It is a peace that is found no other place than in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus alone. And so that scripture that we read, that I just read to you, reminds us that Jesus is in fact the Prince of Peace. And it invites us to prepare our hearts, not just tonight, but every day, for that peace to reside within the face of whatever may come our way. And we also see represented here today is the candle of joy. And I find the candle of joy to not be most exciting, but I often wondered why the different color. Why pink? And I don't know that this is the right answer. But I would reason to say this: hope, peace, love, those things are of no less important. But because of those things that we have, we ought to be the most jubilant people in the world. It is that joy that ought to attract people, just as the open sign on the restaurant that lights up says, "Come in, there's good food at my table." And it invites them in to experience the good food. So it is the odd color, whatever you would say, as I think of it in that way, that joy that Christ has given us all is what invites people to experience oftentimes the love, the peace, and the hope that is so available to this world if they would just come in. And so today we that's what that candle represents. And the good news is that Galatians tells us that there is no law against that. In fact, it tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We're allowed to be excited about Jesus Christ. We're allowed to. And then, of course, we have the fourth candle that represents love. See, in John's gospel, we read that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So tonight, let's be thankful for that love that God so freely offered to us. Let's be thankful for that beautiful boy that lived life in a very tough time, who experienced emotionally everything that we can possibly experience, who's walked where we walk, who's lived life as we've lived it. 1 John 4:9 goes on to say that in this was manifested the love of God towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation, or to pay the ransom for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, this evening we celebrate the first coming of Christ through Advent, and we celebrate the attributes of Christ, great of love, peace, hope, and joy. But the attributes of Christ extend so much deeper than that. And it's fitting that the Christ candle should be the biggest, and it should be at the center. For it is our greatest hope, it is our blessed assurance for those who believe, and it is an everlasting love that cannot be extinguished. It is for all the world to see, appreciate, and yes, enjoy. because the presence of God was intended for man to enjoy. He loves us very much. This evening, we celebrate that first coming, and with Christians throughout the entire world, not just here in this building tonight. And today, we worship that King who was born in the manger to the Virgin Mary, who was announced by angelic hosts, who was worshipped by lowly shepherds. In the scripture we read today, it was said that the angel said, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of tidings and great joy to all people." All people. And so the light of that Christ candle at the center of that wreath reminds us of all those attributes that can only be found through Christ and in his presence. So I would ask that tonight that we would praise God for the gifts of his holy son, Jesus Christ, that he has given us, and that we would remember that holy birth, his gracious life, the love, his sacrifice, and the service that he offered to us, his death upon the cross, and that we would acknowledge him as Lord of our lives as we celebrate his birth, and that we would dedicate ourselves to him anew. There was an illustration that I came across in preparation for tonight that really hit home for me. It's history says, tradition history says, that Leonardo da Vinci, when he painted the painting of the Last Supper, and if you noticed, the hand of our Lord is empty. And therein lies an inspiring story. Eventually, he had dedicated 3 years of his life to that painting, and he determined that it would be his crowning work. And before unveiling it, he decided that he was going to show a trusted friend of his whose opinion he valued highly. And the friend's praise was unabounded. "The cup in Jesus' hand," he said, "is especially beautiful." Disappointed at once, Da Vinci began to paint out that cup. Astonished that his friend would do such a thing, he asked for an explanation from Da Vinci, to which Da Vinci explained, nothing must distract from the figure of Christ. I share that to say this. Advent is more than a tradition for myself, my family, and I believe to all of you here tonight. It is our way of making sure that Christ is at the center of not just this Advent season, but of every day of our lives. As the beauty of the lights and the joy of presence and everything surrounds, we come together tonight to remind each other and worship our Lord and letting him know that there is nothing more beautiful, there's nothing more glorious, there's nothing more wonderful than Jesus Christ. And so with that, we're going to have an opportunity to sing, I believe at least here, some more songs of adoration. And my brother, Pastor Russ over here, is going to walk us through communion. But before we do that, can I just pray over us again? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your word says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Lord, that joy that was set before him, yeah, it was loving you the right way. But it was also loving us the right way and showing us how to do that for one another. Lord, so we ask that as you have given us such a precious gift, and your son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we ask that we would give you the gift that you desire most of all. And that is our hearts. That is our praise and our adoration. Because we know, Lord, that you find great delight in calling us your sons and daughters. And we give you praise in Jesus' name tonight. And so as we take communion and as we celebrate the rest of this evening and beyond, Lord, we ask, God, that you would, that your son, Jesus Christ, would be at the center of it, at the center. And that when light needs to shine brightest, it will. But God, we look forward to your son coming again. And we give you praise in Jesus' name.
You should sit up here and hear all that singing. That was great. So, Merry Christmas. Thanks for coming. We have 5 more minutes. Brandon, you got 5 more minutes that you want to... oh, don't ask him? Okay. Merry Christmas. Stick around. Have a cookie, cup of coffee. Celebrate Christ with us. Thank you for coming. It was good. I thought it was good anyway. And it was great. Make sure before you put your candles in the basket that you blow them out. Okay? Thank you very much.